This is QuakeCast, episode 50. Welcome to the podcast for id Software's classic Quake and the games it inspired. As I said, this is episode 50. We're celebrating today with JCR, and we've invited back RC, who's been MIA, and we'll catch up on what's going on in the Quake community. And we'll do a deep dive into Doom Eternal. And Greenwood is back with one vanilla scoop, just a single this time. Hello, Quakers. This is indeed episode 50 of the QuakeCast. I have JCR and a special guest, RC.
Hey!
There he is.
I'm here.
We've missed you, buddy.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the last time I was on the show. I think it was 2019.
I think there was something in your wife's stomach at the time.
Yes. It has clawed its way out. It has taken over my life.
It's alive.
It's alive and well.
Good.
That's good. That's good news.
Yeah. Yes, for sure. For somebody.
Right. Oh, I saw your, was that your April Fool's video that you posted?
Yeah, did you guys watch that? I don't know if you caught it.
Okay. Yeah, I enjoyed that one.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, I put it together. Because, you know, I was doing these channel updates on my channel every now and then. I'd be like, hey, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But I was like, you know what? Those are kind of boring. People don't watch them. And I was like, let's just do something crazy. So on April 1st, I was like, I'm going to do this, like, you know, this is what my life is now with a kid type of thing.
So. I had a good chuckle because I was like, and then, you know what's funny, RC? You're such an influencer in my household that you were talking about Ori. You know, you're kind of trying to get through an Ori thing, like, hey, I just want to give you final notes. And then, of course, I went and watched your Ori episode because I'd heard of the game and then I didn't know much about it. I'm like, hey, I'm going to check that out. That's what I do with my free time. That's what I do with my free time.
That's okay. That's what you do. These are our hobbies, man.
Exactly. And the game does look great. So that's very cool. So JCR, what have you been up to? You've been off a couple episodes. That's kind of my fault.
Life has been a little crazy on this side also. A lot of work. And I've been grinding away at an Arcane Dimensions map I'm working on.
Nice.
And I say grinding away because, like, I'm kind of stuck. You know, a little bit of mapper's block. But, you know, just working through it.
You got to do Zungryware's little randomizer thing. I think you mentioned that on In the Keep, right? I think that was, yeah, that was you.
I did.
The randomizer.
That's right.
Yeah, you got to do it. So that'll get you out of your block, right?
Yeah, I might have to give it a spin. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good point. And, you know, shout out to the Motherlode. He's a cool cat.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
So, yes, 50th episode of QuakeCast. RC's been away from the Quake scene a little bit. He's been a little busy. And we wanted to update him and our listeners with some of the things that have been going on in the single-player Quake community. So, JCR, you played through Joke Jam recently. Why don't you let him know how that was and give him your thoughts on that bad boy?
Oh, well... let's just say that there's be prepared for clowns, fart jokes, profanity, and dick jokes.
Done. Like, I feel like I'm prepared for that at all times of the day.
Yeah, it's good fun. There's so much good banter in the joke jam. I'm trying to, like, choose what I say carefully. So I don't spoil anything, but it was a really enjoyable pack. Oh, and in one of the maps, I even have a cameo in a secret. So that was kind of cool.
Wait a minute. The ranger shot or something
No, nothing like that.
Something different, huh? Okay.
It's just like a little icon of me tucked away somewhere.
Nice. Like a Doom Eternal, like a little Funko Pop.
That would be funny.
We really need our own Funko Pop dolls for this QuakeCast to celebrate the 50th, right?
Yes, 50th
anniversary commemorative. Yeah, well, so like a limited edition run.
I'm excited because if you look at everybody who did stuff, you have Starship Waters, right? Kind of new to the scene, or at least to our community. Noel Kaz is really talented, and these are right up his alley. So
totally,
I'm sure they're awesome. I'm sure that map is great.
It even has voice acting.
Nice. Okay.
And I don't know if it's his voice acting. I assume it is, but what he does with it is just really funny.
That's great. And then Burger Town by Marky Music, which Michael Markey was on episode 49. Ziggy, I almost said Zigi. I don't know. Like Gigi, the movie.
Yeah, he did the clown map.
Okay. Oh, okay. Box Figs. I don't know that name, actually.
There's a couple names in there that I don't recognize either.
Yeah, Omni. We know Pinchy. We know Greenwood. He's got two, of course. Planet of the Crates. That's great. Scampi, not Sean Campbell Scampi, but a different Scampi, just with an I. Quasi Otter.
Oh, that's not Scampi. That's someone else.
Correct. Yeah. It's Scampi. It's Scampi, but it's not Scampi, right? And Quasi Otter. I always want to say Quasi Lauder, but it's Quasi Otter. And that's a new mapper to the scene, and then Artistical as well. So yeah, a lot of new names and kind of old kind of standards and some fun people.
It's really nice to see that the Quake community has a sense of humor. And, you know, it's kind of sophomoric for the most part, but it's there and it's great.
I think it could be a lot worse. Probably. And I'm just going to leave it at that.
Probably.
That's cool. Well, so for my part, the most recent speed map pack was 207. It was something that Fairweather came up with, cooked up, and put it on Funk. And it was basically Ceremonial Circles tribute. So Ceremonial speed maps. And basically, I don't know if you guys remember that map by CCG, but
it's a classic.
Yeah, it's a classic. It's actually one of my faves. It's so impressive for what it is. It's just a twisty turny cluster F, you know, but it's so fun. It's such a great map. So I had to jump on that, and that cost me some hours of sleep last week. But, so we had, the levels were created in 72 hours. There was 4LT Artistical, Dante Scanline, myself, Greenwood, H4724, also known as Henry Ambrose, I think. Ionis Ish Neki did a map, which I have not played that yet. Neoe?
It's quite a turnout. I'm looking at the lineup now, and it's like, wow. We haven't seen a map from Ish in a while.
Yeah. Yeah, One True Purple and Quasi Otter as well. So a really big turnout for that. I've played about halfway through it. Well, a little more than halfway through. And I got to say, set aside some time to play Hardcore Mazu's map. I swear I almost had a coronary playing that map. So
if I had to guess, it has like 300 monsters in it or something.
It was well over 100 on normal, but it was also just the layout. I really was cussing and throwing things around. I think I kicked my desk a couple of times, but it's a fantastic map though. So I had to keep going. I was like, no, I got to keep playing. I got to keep going. So, it was one of those ones where I get a ton of secrets and I'm like, yeah, I've got this. And then I get completely killed and then realize I haven't saved in 20 minutes.
Oh
yeah.
It's one of those
that gets the best of us.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I want to watch some people's demos of that after being scarred by that one. But Ionis is great, and then that's where I left off. So far it's been a great pack. So, and I had a lot of fun doing the map that I did.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to giving that one a spin.
So in the last few weeks, we've had, you know, vanilla maps release, some Quake 2 maps release, Cerebon Plague Maker. And let's see, Secrets of the Keep. Did I miss this? Oh no, that's Mortal Max. So that's next. JCR, why don't you talk about Mortal Max's new monstrosity?
Oh, I mean, my mouth is watering over it. I haven't played it yet, but I mean, I'll tell you what it appears to be. It looks like he created like a whole kind of medieval village, and the lighting is just very interesting. It's got a lot of scenes set up. It's in Arcane Dimension, so it's going to have a lot of the AD features. Very impressive stuff. I mean, just looking at, he did a little trailer for it and everything. That was very exciting. So, you know, I'm hoping to have some time set aside where I can just play it and give a nice review and see what it's all about. But so it seems like everybody's going crazy about it.
Yeah, it looks amazing. RC, I'm going to send you screenshots because you really should take a look at this. Wait till you see this.
I'm actually looking at them right now on the Funk message board. But hey, not only does it look beautiful, but it's got a fishing ogre. In any map that usually has that, I'm in.
So. Mark of quality.
But yeah, this looks like a gorgeous map.
Yeah, so all kinds of really great things happening in the Quake scene. The U.S. Quake World community is doing a lot too. There seems to be a lot of matches, and I think Ziggy and who else was doing a co-op stream today, which I really wanted to do that. I was in the middle of working on QuakeCast, so I was like,
I believe it was Ziggy and Verka.
Oh, that's right. You know what it was? I'm sorry. It was Verka and Ziggy. So I didn't get a chance to watch that, but I'm going to watch the replay because they played through at least a portion of Underdark Overbright on stream, and I just couldn't watch when it was live. So so that's cool. So even co-op stuff going on. So all kinds of stuff.
On the note of co-op, I'll say I was a little surprised to see how nicely Underdark Overbright played in co-op. Like, it just goes to show that it's a really well-designed pack.
Exactly. So RC, what have you been up to? I know you've been streaming. You're still gaming. I know you've got your family going on. What have you been up to, man? What's floating your boat these days?
Well, yeah, you'll notice that I've been sort of absent from the Quake scene for a while. And part of it is because of that. Like, you know, I played through the Christmas Jam back in December because it's the Christmas Jam, right? And I got that uploaded, and I was planning to play through the Finnish project that came out back in January. And once I saw how much content was actually in it and where I was at with, you know, the baby and work and everything, I was just like, I don't know if I could sit here for like 3-4 hours and on camera and just talk, you know. I was just exhausted. So then, you know, before you know it, you know, with the baby and everything, like a couple months go by, then a couple more months go by. And just like you guys say, like at this point, I'm like, I don't even know where to step back in at this point, you know, because there's so much to pick from. But that's kind of where I've been with the Quake stuff, or in regards to the Quake stuff. I'm actually very impressed with what everybody has been doing lately. I've been checking out Funk every now and then just to see what people are doing, to at least, you know, stay a little bit on top of it. But yeah, it's been tough with the channel itself, like just trying to do videos for that, because it's like, you know, my whole day until maybe like 8 p.m. is, you know, either work or the baby or other stuff. And then it's like, oh, I finally have like an hour where I feel maybe awake enough to do a video. You know, it's been tough to keep it going, to be honest. That's why you'll see most of my videos, they're like, maybe about 20 minutes at most, you know. But I have gotten a chance to play a couple of other games that are great. I'll talk about a couple really quick, and then we'll talk about one big one that came out that we definitely should be talking about. One was what you mentioned earlier, Dump Truck, but that was Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Excellent platformer if you guys are looking for something that's difficult, but it's also beautiful. Has a lot of different abilities in it. Has a lot of great secrets to find in it. It's just such a really, really well-made game. I fully recommend that one. And for anybody who's looking for kind of like a multiplayer game, Microsoft came out with one called Bleeding Edge. And it's by Ninja Theory, and they basically sort of like made this hand-to-hand combat team game. It's like a 4-on-4 where you capture nodes, and the characters in it are just wild. They're all cybernetic characters. Like, there's every character has some sort of like weird limb or appendage that is a robotic in some way, and all the characters have these wild abilities. But I played that for a little bit, and I think it's absolutely awesome. I recommend that one too. I don't think anybody who's been addicted to Overwatch or something like that for years, you know, I think they're going to think of it as like a step down. But honestly, I think it's a ton of fun as long as you get like a good team. If you can't get a good team, don't bother. Because it's so team focused. But if you can get you and three of your buddies together, or at least two of your buddies together, to like kind of work together, you will have moments in it where you're just like, yeah, you know, it's really, really cool. But the third game I want to talk to you guys about and see how you feel. It may not be Quake, but it's in the same universe. They came out with Doom Eternal last month.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
Doom Eternal.
Doom Eternal.
Doom Eternal. The first time I saw that was really early in the morning and the coffee was brewing. And I'm like, what are they talking about? Like, I need more coffee, man. So what's your hot take on it, guys? I've played it. I'm probably about halfway through.
I'll let JCR, you go for it, man.
Oh boy. I feel like it ruined my perspective on first person shooters a little bit.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, because all right, let me think about this for a second. But like
no, I can tell you exactly. You said on your podcast in The Keep that nobody likes platforming in first person shooters, and I laughed out loud because obviously this was recorded before.
Right. I will say I was very surprised by the amount of platforming that it featured. You know, we're talking about a mainstream AAA game here. They have more platforming in there than the most obscure little
Mario,
you know. Yeah. Or yeah, even the platformers don't have that much platforming. I liked it. You know, in fact, I was talking to a couple of guys on Discord not long ago, and they were like, yeah, you know, I was playing Doom Eternal and I thought about the jump jam. And it's like, well, you know, cool. Like, it feels like my concerns have been answered. And there is now a shooting game that has a lot of platforming to it. It's cool. But besides that, like, all the little mechanics seem so contentious at first. You know, like, a lot of people, myself included, were like, you're telling me I have to farm the monsters to like get ammo and stuff like that. But I mean, I don't know, Dump Truck, what part of the game you're in right now, but it seems like the game goes through like an extended tutorial phase.
Yeah.
Just teaching you what every little thing does. Once you're past that and like they just let you loose, that's when it really shines. And when it all clicks together, it just works in a way that I don't think I've seen any recent shooting game do. I haven't even talked about the level design, but I'll just leave it at that. I want you guys to talk about it too.
Yeah, I mean, let me give you my experience from it. I played it on Don't Hurt Me or whatever. I can't remember.
Come on.
I'm a baby. I can't remember right now. I'm freaking old. Not Hurt Me Plenty. That's medium. What is the skill, guys? Help me.
I think it's here's I'm editing. Model. Is that what it's called?
I'm editing this shit out of the I should know this. I've been playing Doom for a long time. But anyway, I'm playing on the baby. Well, because I don't usually use it. I usually Hurt Me Plenty. I'm too young to die. Well, that's,
there you go.
That's wrong. I'm too old to live. But I don't know what I'm saying. I need a beer really bad. I intentionally chose that because I've only really been playing Quake and then console games. I don't really game a whole lot. I try to, and I have recently because of, you know, the gaming pandemic that we have going right now. So but I fired it up and I was excited. I actually loved Doom 2016. I played through it. I enjoyed it. I even went back and tried to find secrets and played some of the challenges, not a lot, but some of them.
Yeah,
and so I did enjoy that game a lot. I was actually really blown away and really surprised about it. This game, just at the beginning, those first few levels in the lava with the double jumping and, platforming, but also the kind of, what do they call it? Not sidling. What is it? Grappling or what? God, I can't even.
Yeah, like the climbing parts.
Yeah, it's the parkour stuff.
Yeah.
That I felt to me that they did not balance that for old David. you know, for me, you know, I was like, what, why is this so hard all of a sudden? Just like it dropped off a cliff and then it got, okay. So I had to kind of get acclimated to it. And so I went on the Discord and I was just whining about it a little bit. And then a couple days later, couple nights later, I got, okay, I've got it now. Now I understand how this works, how it feels. And then of course you were talking about farming the monsters. I laughed really hard because this is all kind of newish stuff for me. I don't really think about first person shooters like this, you know? So I looked in my interface and I'm like, oh my God, I've got all these points. I should really spend them on some things. So I finally had my 21-year-old. I'm like, what am I looking at? What are all these? So there's four different currencies basically in the game. Actually six, right? So you can spend four different currencies to upgrade your weapons and all that. And I'm sorry, I'm just not used to that stuff. I'm like fire rocket. Get quad, find secrets. That's like thump chest. Yeah,
the classic. Just yeah. None of that extra RPG elements type stuff.
But and this is the last thing I'll say, and then RC, I want to hear what you have to say. But the one thing I do love, obviously, is when you have an id Software game, the art is off the charts. The design is always just so stunning. You know, even games that people hate, I think they probably could, you know, recognize the art that goes into it, and it's always just jaw dropping. So I love all that stuff. So what is your take on it?
Well, you know, I'm a bit mixed on the game, to be honest. I think that, I think that there's a lot of great stuff in the game. Like obviously the soundtrack is really good. Mick Gordon did an amazing job just like he did in 2016. And I agree, 2016 is quite a great game. And I like that they kind of just like beefed everything up in this game, you know, times 10, you know, they're like bigger monsters, everything's crazier, you know, and I like that they kind of approach it from that aspect. But it's interesting because I, you know, not to, you know, beat this to, you know, beat a dead horse here, but, you know, as a new dad or whatever, I find myself pretty tired by the end of the day, you know what I mean? And I actually, I stopped playing this game a couple weeks ago. I haven't returned to it because I finished the third level, which I think was the snowy one, if that's right. I don't know if there's another one in the game, but I finished it. And it's not that I'm doing bad in the game because I have like, my guy has like 10 or 11 lives, right? But I got to the end of level 3 and just felt exhausted. And I was just like,
I'm laughing because I totally get it.
Yeah,
it's a very demanding game.
Yeah, it really is. And I know a lot of other people, you know, they're saying like, I've seen these reviews that are like, oh, best FPS ever, it's 100% perfect, 10 out of 10. And I'm like, I'm really glad that people are enjoying it, but for me, like, at least in my current state, I'm just not enjoying it as much as I feel like I would be if this were like 5 years ago, if that makes sense. Like when I didn't have a kid and didn't work, you know, 40 to 60 hours a week all the time, you know.
Or you had more time to like dedicate to it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like if I came to it fresh, like if I came to it like on Saturday morning and I'm like, all right, I got, you know, a thing of coffee and a snack and I'm like, let's do this. But now it's like I get to it at like 9 p.m. and I'm just like, I don't know. You know what I mean? So
I think to be fair that it's a little of both because they definitely changed up the design on you. So it is not what you were expecting, in my opinion. It is a lot different. I don't think it's bad, but I mean, it is definitely, like you say, they amped it up and turned everything up. But yeah, you're at a time in your life when you are moving out of the target demographic for the game, I guess.
Right.
You know,
it kind of feels that way.
Or at least it's just tougher, you know, I hear you, man. I mean, that's welcome. Wait till you're 52.
No, you know, you say that though. And I think that's a great explanation for it though, is that like, I feel like it's the first game I've ever played that made me feel old. And that's weird to say because I'm still in my 30s, but like I feel tired and I'm just like, I don't want to play this tonight. I want to go to bed like feeling somewhat okay instead of going, ugh.
Well, to be fair, I will say like I even felt like, well, I'm getting old for this shit. there were certain fights where it's like, holy crap, like how is someone supposed to deal with this? you know, right. Or like I died like 5 or 6 times. And then like after, if you die like in a significant fight several times, it'll give you an option of like, oh, you can play with this thing called the Sentinel armor, which is basically like the bumpers in bowling, you know?
And what a great whenever analogy. I would
see that Sentinel armor thing, I'm like,
they probably don't give that to me in my little crybaby mode.
Yeah, there you go.
So whenever I die several times and I see, hey, try Sentinel armor. And it's like, oh no, I'm not. I refuse to use it. You know?
Yeah. That's funny.
Push through it, but
just tough it through. Yeah. No, it's funny you mentioned that dump truck with the baby mode or whatever. Cause I'm like, I know a lot of people are putting down the 2016 game because they're like, oh yeah, 2016 seems like a walk in the park compared to the new game. And I'm kind of like, yeah, I don't know. I kind of would like the idea of me being powerful and feeling powerful and killing demons that way, where this game, you really do feel like you are at a disadvantage most of the time, because even though you have the guns and you have a lot of great abilities, you have to constantly move and watch your ass. And man, like I said, when it gets to late at night, I'm kind of like, I just want to kind of play some Animal Crossing.
Yeah. I'm right there with you, buddy. I'm right there with you. That's where Round Guard comes in. It's just gravity.
Yeah, Round Guard. That's a good one too. But yeah, and I don't want this to sound like I'm putting the game down, because I'm not. I'm sure this is just a me thing, and you know. But yeah, because I think the art direction of this game is amazing. I already mentioned the soundtrack is really good. You know, I think that the abilities are cool and everything. It's just like, for me, maybe the more that you play of the game, the more you get used to it. You know, that maybe by the time I get to level 6. Maybe that's when I'm kind of like, okay, now I'm getting into the flow of this. But I felt like by level 3, being, you know, 3-4 hours into the game, I was kind of like, I feel like this should feel a little bit more at home now with this game. And I didn't, you know?
I'll say that it took me a little while to get used to the mechanics and stuff.
Yeah.
Towards the last quarter of the game is when it really started to shine for me. And then when I started playing it again, like I played on Ultra Violence and then I started playing it on Nightmare.
God.
It was starting like again though. It sucks because you're missing so many of like the items. So you feel like your hands are tied behind your back. I would say that's my criticism. It would be cool to just kind of, if they gave you all of the things that you're going to be needing to use from the start, you know? Instead, like, you do this thing where they slowly introduce the different items piecemeal, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And I'm with you, JCR. Like, I actually like the platforming in this. I really like the exploration aspect of it. I love the, you know, there's a secret around you, but you're not quite sure where it's at. You have to explore for it. Like, I actually was having a lot of fun trying to find that stuff.
Yeah.
But I would say that I do have two critiques for this game. If people are willing to hear it, you know, because I don't think that these are old man related, but
it's not a perfect game.
No, it's definitely not. And I was kind of a little surprised that so many people are calling it that, because quite honestly, I compare any new FPS I play to Titanfall 2's campaign, which I feel like is one of the best campaigns to come out in a very long time. Unfortunately, that game, I don't feel like it's its due, but it's such a good campaign. It's only like 5 hours long. It's riveting through the whole thing. It's fun. But anyway, despite that, the two things with Doom Eternal, or Doom Eternal, if we're going to call it that, one is that I feel like, and this might be because of me looking for secrets and stuff, but I feel like the levels are a tad too long. They seem to kind of like, this might be me looking for secrets, so that could be that kind of thing. But I feel like the levels were just like, I think I spent 2 hours playing through level 3. And I was like, this is a long time to spend at one level even looking for secrets, you know?
Yeah, like they do serve you up a big helping all at once.
Yeah. And for some people, I'm sure they're super into that, because even with Quake, I'm not usually a big fan of like 400 monster count maps. So,
yeah.
Right. You know, right. But other people are. So this maybe is just not a me thing. The other critique I had for it is that the combat arenas become painfully obvious as to how the gameplay works, you know, how the loop works, where it's basically like, fight a wave of monsters, you know, or three waves of monsters in this area, take a break, do some platforming, then fight some more monsters in this arena, take a break and platform. And it goes back and forth a lot. And to me, it feels very Gears of War-y. Like, I don't know if you guys played through Gears of War or any of those in the past, but like, those were very much like that. Like, they actually, in Gears of War, they had a tone at the end of a fight to let you know, oh, by the way, there's not going to be any fighting right now until...
You can unclench now.
Totally.
You can unclench now.
It's like this... Yeah, it was like a little guitar gong type of mixture sound. It'd be like, bong, and you're like, okay, we're done with this area. Move on to the exploration part. And it was just painfully obvious that, like, explore, fight. And that's how this feels, too. And where Doom was always, like, littered with monsters throughout the map, you know, it's a bit strange the way this is set up.
I see what you're saying. Like, there wasn't any clear definition between when a fight stops and when explore mode kicks in. It's kind of just all happening at once.
It's all happening at once, but it's, to me, by level three, it became obvious as to when, like, oh, I'm stepping into the circle area. This is a fight.
Right.
And
right.
Then,
Doom doesn't have that.
Yeah. No. Well, 2016 to me, I don't know, you guys might disagree, but the one thing I like about this new one is that there's a lot more variety. So, I mean, like those gore nests are now you can choose to do them. Right. So as opposed to that was the gameplay in 2016 was like, oh, here's another gore nest and they're going to lock the doors and I'm going to be stuck in, you know. And so there's a lot less of that in this one, which I appreciate. But it is, you're right. It is kind of there's wave one, wave two. And they actually even have a counter up in the upper right hand side of your screen. You know how many there are.
Oh, really? I didn't notice that.
I think it kicks in like later on, like maybe the first levels don't show it, but later on it does show you. But yeah, it'll tell you like there's 10 combat encounters in this map.
Yeah. Or in this world. So in other words, like if you're in, like I'm on the last one I played through, I think I'm entering into Sentinel Prime, which is mission 8 out of 13. So I finished Mars Core, which was great, by the way, that's an awesome level. So because the platforming really makes sense because there's all this blasted chunks of Mars floating above the atmosphere.
Oh yeah. That was so cool. And
I love the platforming in that one. Very jump jammy, by the way. You know, it was very cool. So I appreciate all the variety that they have, but I do agree with you. It just like, it's, you know, rinse, repeat kind of thing.
Yeah.
Definitely a lot more depth as you go. I would stick with it, RC, because it is, I mean, I haven't finished it yet, but if JCR is saying it gets better towards the last third, boy, I'm getting ready to get in the good part. And I am now comfortable with the mechanics of it. One thing I will say is kind of goofy. These, like all the signposts in the map are just so, they're so Fisher Price, man. I mean, the key doors, like in some of these, I think it was a Doom Hunter base or the Cultist base, like the key doors, like have these giant like red things like, nope, don't come this way yet. And then it turns green and it's just this giant goofy user interface stuff. And it's like, did you have to do that? And like cracks in the walls have green going through them. I mean, maybe that's not the way it is on the real modes.
No, that's how it is.
How it is. Okay.
It skips normal. Yeah.
So it's not just me.
Nope.
But I'm just so offended. My sensibilities are really offended by that kind of choice that they made. I mean, it could just be a nice looking cool door that they copy and paste all over the place. And they're like, oh, that's the door. I got to go. But instead it's this garish, like red. No, it's locked, dummy. Don't even come this way.
It is kind of insulting to your intelligence, isn't it?
And like, here, punch this thing. It has like a fist on it. And it's the size of, like, it takes up the whole screen when you walk up to it. It's like, I better punch this then.
I mean, that's the whole thing with this game, though, right? They totally embrace the dumb with this, right?
They went full, you know what?
they went full action movie. We'll just say that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
I'll say that, you know, it's an interesting contrast with the signposting. There's certain, like you have these, you mentioned like these big green like signposts, but then like there's some levels where you have to hit like an elevator button and the elevator button is like human size, you know? So it's kind of funny. You'll see that more in like the human areas. Like there's an office building that you have to go through. And in that scene, it's like, I specifically remember, they have like these teeny little green buttons and that's what you have to press. When everything else up until then has been giant green, like you know, fist shaped button that's like the size of Doomguy.
That is really, really funny.
We should probably kind of start wrapping it up, but I do want to ask you guys, what do you guys think of the Slayer gates? I like that. That's actually cool because that's a choice. Yeah. So you can find a key, and if you find the key, I don't know if you've done this yet, RC, but you find a key and then you have a choice to take on this crazy thing. And since I'm playing on little baby mode, hey, I've beat three of them. So, hey, what are you going to do?
I heard somewhere that Slayer gates introduce monsters early. I didn't really notice, but I think they're some of the most fun challenges in the game.
Yeah, I kind of want to just go through and play those after the fact. I'm sure I will, because those are really, really fun. But yeah, so, I mean, hey, QuakeCast 50th, let's talk about Doom. you know, until they decide to ruin Quake. No, they didn't ruin Doom, that's for sure. They brought it to a new generation.
A lot of people were thinking that they were going to ruin it. I thought they were going to ruin Doom with 2016, and they didn't.
Yeah, that's, you know, speaking of Doom, though, I will say that I think I was having more fun playing Doom 64 on Steam, because that feels a lot like the original games, and it's actually pretty good.
Did you ever play it before?
No, it's the first time I played it.
Oh, so what do you think of like the different mood it's got going on?
I kind of dig it. To me, it legitimately feels like Doom 3, like versus the actual Doom 3. Yeah, but it feels like the upgrade to, okay, this looks like the lateral toss to, you know, what Doom 2 would have been afterwards.
Yeah, I totally agree.
But
I haven't played it yet, but I'm going to savor it. And
yeah, I mean, like,
yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Dump Truck, you know, Immorpher, like Immorpher's music is heavily inspired by Aubrey Hodges, who was the composer of Doom 64.
Well, honestly, this is the way Doom 64 really should have been released, because I was watching footage of it on the 64 on YouTube and I was like, oh, it's so muddy and it runs like crap. And
it's terrible. Yeah,
it's awful. But then you see it on Steam, and you're like, oh, this is running at 60 FPS. It looks great. You know, the lighting's there. It's really the way to play it.
Yeah. And, you know, we're really blessed right now, because if we like those older games and remember them, when I saw that they were releasing this, I'm like, oh, this is beautiful. The floodgates are open now, because you see Night Dive doing all these, you know, bringing back blood and kind of revamping it, but, you know, new engine, you can play it. It's much easier. You've always been able to do this stuff with community things, but now the companies are finally going, oh, duh, people want to play these things. So people like 3D Realms and Wrath and things like that, you know, what are they doing? Kingpin Reloaded.
They're doing
a Sin, kind of a remastered Sin. There's going to be all kinds of fun stuff coming down the pike.
And who knows what else the future will bring.
I know.
I mean, there's a bunch of other companies that are making like little retro inspired FPS games. Surely something that they will make will be classic.
Yeah, exactly. Just the aesthetic, you know, again, this has been going on for a long time, but when I saw Doom 64, it's like a AAA publisher is finally embracing this, especially like putting Doom and Doom 2 on the Switch and all that stuff. It's like, yes. I mean, how long have you been waiting for that? Like an official release on a Nintendo handheld, and it finally happened, you know? So I love this trend. I hope it keeps going on.
I think you guys will agree. We have enough Doom. We need them to give Quake the same treatment now.
Yeah, I'm with you for sure. But
I have mixed feelings about that. But
well, Quake 64 was the same Quake, so hey, you know, we already got it.
Oh well, yeah. I'm sorry. I thought you meant like a reboot. I'm sorry.
Oh, you want a remake?
No. I'm saying I don't know if I want that.
I meant JCR. JCR wants Quake remake, huh?
I think they've done pretty nicely by Doom, so I feel like they could probably pull off a Quake.
If it does it, I wouldn't be too nervous. If Machine Games does it, I'm sure it'll be amazing. It's going to be more of a, I would hope it would be more of a survival horror thing feeling, you know what I'm saying? Not the pacing and rhythm, but we'll see. I don't know. Maybe they'll do it. I don't know. I just hope they don't do another Strog based one, because I don't want that.
We got enough of that.
Yeah, we got plenty of that. I mean, well, not that whatever, I dislike it. It's, you know, I like them, but I just don't like them as much. I just don't like them as much as that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping whenever the third Doom comes out, that'll just be like at the end of Doom 3, whatever they call it. Doom guy just like fist bumps Ranger, and then you're like, oh, and then Quake comes out, you know, like, but probably not.
Well, I mean, you guys haven't gotten deeper into the game, but there are other characters that you will interact with that have armor that's like kind of like, it isn't a far stretch. It wouldn't be a stretch to say it would fit in like the Quake universe.
Okay.
Good to know.
That's cool.
Well, getting back to Quake on this 50th episode, RC, I know you probably are familiar with Greenwood, and we've been doing Greenwood's Vanilla Scoops.
Yeah.
And so we're going to cut in here and roll into Greenwood, and then we'll come back and say farewell. Greenwood, welcome to episode 50 of the QuakeCast special celebratory episode.
Oh, well, happy 50th. Glad to be here. Okay, well, this next map in Vanilla Scoops is a medium-sized base map by Sean Scampy Campbell, and it's called Dead Memories. It came out in the year 2012, and again, it's a base map. It's probably in my top five vanilla base maps, and it's a medium-sized map. On easy, it's 95 enemies, medium, 128, and on hard, 151.
Whoa.
With about 9 secrets scattered here and there. And Sean Campbell, Scampy, as he's best known as, he's been producing maps pretty much since, you know, Quake came out. You'll see on Quidicted, they go back to the year 2001. But this was his only solo release, his only like standalone release. It's just a great base map. You start off and you infiltrate this, you know, base complex, and you get a nice connection from one area to another via like an aqueduct kind of type deal. And it leads to like a really lovely final battle. A lot of people probably know him as the co-creator of the Copper Mods Underdark Overbright, which just came out last year, which is a fantastic mod and map pack that goes with that mod.
Yeah, talk about spectacular. That's the way to put it. It's just some stunning maps in that, both by Loon and Scampy. It's good stuff.
And I tracked down an old interview that Scampy did a while back. And at the time, he was from Madison, Wisconsin. So we talked about various mappers from across the globe. Now we have...
We got a Cheddarhead.
That's right. We got a Cheddarhead. And at the time, I'm not sure if he still is, but he was employed at Big Rooster Software. And then one other like just point of interest in the interview that I found, it said that he said that I'm likely best known for the fact that I weaseled my way into being owner of Terra Fusion, as well as a moderator at the past few message boards. So he's been very actively involved in the Quake community. If you look on Quidicted, he's participated in just a slew of speed maps. Also, he's had, you know, he's inside the Arcane Dimensions. He's got a, you know, he's involved in Arcane Dimensions, Underdark Overbright. But again, being Vanilla Scoops, I have to pick, you know, the best vanilla map offering by a particular mapper. And this is just like I said, it's in my top five base maps. It's just a really fun play, very well done. I've returned to this map several times to play it. So the replay value is high. Mm-hmm. So what did you think of Dead Memories?
Well, Dead Memories, it was a delight. I haven't played a Scampy map in a while. So, and I've never played this one. So it was kind of cool to play, like you said, a medium size, kind of smaller, kind of bite-sized kind of map. What I noticed were the first thing I noticed, and this is not a ding, it's just the door textures kind of took me back. I was like, I've never seen door textures like that. I can't, you know, they just, they don't look wrong. They're just different, you know, than I've ever seen. I love the detailing. All of Scampi's maps are like textbook examples of detailing, the trim work, and just every, you know, all the texture, you know, just excellent texture work. So that's always with all of his maps that I've ever played. Love the layout of this, the overlapping and kind of almost figure eight type of deal going on there. And also that central teleport area is really cool. He used that really well too. You keep going back to it. And I remember going, hey, where am I now? I'm like, oh, wait, I'm looking down where I was just a minute ago. And it's just kind of one of those type of, kind of hub type of levels. Love the secrets. I did not get all of them. I think I got 5 of 9, if I remember correctly. I got a lot.
That's pretty good.
I did do the shells one you were talking about. It took me just slightly less time than you, by the way, to get it. What else? Oh, technomagical fluid is now a part of my lexicon. I love that. All the messages in the map, you know, all the different, like, you know, overload of slipgate and all that stuff.
It's got some wonderful little it's got a wonderful attention to detail, which is always,
yeah,
you know,
oh yeah,
it kind of, you know, it's got a very great immersion factor.
Yeah, exactly. And one last thing, I just think this is one of the best uses of map hacks I've seen in a long time, because I don't want to give a whole lot away, but there's some real critical paths that you have to take and exploding walls and things like that. So that's was really well done. They kind of took me by surprise, because sometimes you forget what you can do in a vanilla map. Cause I don't use hacks all that much, but this one is a good example, and the map source comes with this. So if you're a new mapper listening to this, definitely download this thing, play it, and take a look at the map source.
If you like his maps, which, you know, I don't see why you wouldn't, you want to also definitely want to check out his, you know, besides the AD, the Arcane Dimensions offerings, and also the Underdark Overbright, as far as another vanilla one to check out, he's got a really cool map in Funk Map Jam 6, the Fire and Brimstone Jam, called 10,000 Days in the Fire. I was almost gonna make that the best vanilla map, but the Dark Memories is just classic and just has an overall, I think, exceptional polish to it. But that one is really good too. It's almost has kind of like a Rubicon Rumble Pack vibe to it. 10,000 Days in the Fire.
Cool. Excellent. Yeah, the one thing to note about Scampi is that he is no longer mapping for Quake, but just on April 6th, so what, 4 days ago, he released what he's calling a non-combat Quake map for Copper. And it's kind of a stylistic thing. And I don't want to give it away too much, but it's very striking, let's put it that way. Very interesting textures and shapes and things. So if you're a fan of Copper, if you have the Copper mod and you want to check this out, we'll have a link in the show notes to this, most recent Scampi map. Hopefully he comes back to he's not mapping for Quake anymore, but he even says, this doesn't mean I'm making more Quake maps. I just needed to get some S out of my system due to current events. So there's the latest from Scampi.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, as always, thank you for joining us on the QuakeCast. And these are also made into videos as well for my channel. Thank you for helping me out with that. It's so far so good. People really seem to really love this series. So more maps soon, right?
Yeah, I'm more than happy to do these. So good to hear.
All right, so we're back with JCR and RC. And hey, man, it's been great talking to you guys and catching up. And there's so much going on in the Quake scene. I hope we have 50 more episodes to go. I'm sure we will have quite a few on the horizon.
I hope so.
Yeah. Cheers to 50 more.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's been a good run. And
maybe I'll be on one of
them.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to keep going, and it may not be every week, but definitely at least once a month, we'll be rolling these out, and people seem to be enjoying them. So I'm really happy you guys are part of the team.
I'm glad it could be.
Yeah, go team.
That's it for another episode of the Quakecast. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can find JCR 9001 on YouTube and RC, GGRC on YouTube and Dump Truck DS on YouTube as well. Stay safe out there. You know, regular listeners will already be familiar with... Okay, I'm going to start that over. Because I don't even know what the hell I was going to say. Okay, now I do. Okay.